Okay, this morning then, I'm entitling the message from Ephesians chapter 3, from verses 3, 4, and 5, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it's now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit of God. So I'm calling the message and using the title, The Revelation and Mystery of the Gospel. The Revelation and Mystery of the Gospel. This word, mystery, is found several times in the book of Ephesians. It's found in verse 3 and 4. And again, look at verse 9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, over here in chapter 5, turn over there, the word mystery again is used when it talks about husbands and wives being made one flesh. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. So, and again, if you look at chapter 6 of Ephesians, Paul asked for prayer that he might be able to preach the gospel, verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, the word there, mystery, I looked the word up, and it has to do with something secret. It's something that is not naturally discovered or naturally known. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is completely hidden from the natural man. We read a moment ago, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. To the natural man, the preaching of the cross is mere foolishness. Unto those who were called by the gospel, it's the wisdom and power of God. The gospel is completely hidden from the natural man. It cannot be understood by natural wisdom, understanding, or intellect. It's a mystery that comes by revelation. It's a revelation by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, taking the Word of God and showing us the gospel of Christ. And when I talk about the gospel of Christ, it's specifically concerning who he is and what he has accomplished. The Lord, by the power of the gospel, must reveal this mystery unto us, or we'll never understand, love, receive, or believe the truth. Never happen. The reason why is because we are dead in sin. You had to be quickened who were dead. Now let me show you another verse that will help us on this. Find Matthew 11. Matthew 11. The apostles taught a sovereign revelation of the gospel. And our Lord Jesus Christ taught them the same message. Matthew 11, look at verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, Matthew 11, 25, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now look at verse 27. This mystery and the revelation of the mystery of the gospel comes by a sovereign revelation. God teaches sinners whom he will teach. All things, look at verse 27, all things are delivered unto me and my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whom the Son will, what? Reveal him. So it's a revelation. God must command the light to shine in our dead hearts to cause us to see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that shines in the face of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I've often said to you over the years I've been here, getting close to almost 30 years now, it takes God to reveal God. Now, that's just so. It takes God to reveal God. The revelation of the gospel is a revelation of the mercy and love and grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no coming to God apart from Christ. You're not going to come to God who is holy and sovereign and almighty. You're not going to come to God apart from the designated mediator. The Lord said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Right? What's the next word? N-O. No man come to the Father but by and through me. Our Lord said again, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. It takes the drawing, convicting, revealing, regenerating power of God. That's why we studied in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Remember? You hath he quickened who were what? Dead. Dead. A dead man can't think. A dead man can't look. A dead man has no appetite. He has no thirst for the spiritual things of God. God must give us life, and then we thirst after him. And then we believe him. And then we come to him. And then we repent. And then we believe. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says in verse 3, he says, how that by revelation. Now, how did Paul learn this gospel? We know what he was by nature, a lost Pharisee named Saul of Tarsus, going about to persecute those who believed the gospel. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, where did he get this knowledge? Let's turn back to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 11. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. He said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, I wasn't taught it by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God. I've wasted it. I profited in the Jews' religion, among many of my equals, being more exceeding zealous of the tradition of my fathers, but when it pleased God, separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace, look, verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him. You can't tell what you don't know. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately, I didn't need any confirmation from any man whatsoever. He said in verse 2, you've heard of the ministry that I have, of the grace of God, which is given to me for you. Look up here at verse 7. Ephesians 3, verse 7. He said, wherefore I was made a minister. His ministry was to sinners in need of mercy. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles, here it is, what? The unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that scripture where it talks about, though he was rich in grace, yet for our sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Believers in Christ are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5, Ephesians 3, verse 5. He said, this mystery in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it's now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, now he's talking about Jew and Gentile being one body in Christ, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. They should be fellow heirs. Remember, look at chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. We had this last week. He said, you remember what you are by nature. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He has made both one. He hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity of the law, a commandment contained in ordinance for to make in himself of two one new man, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, read on, and came and preached peace to you who were far off and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And here's what I want to get to. Look what it says there. Now therefore you're no more strangers, foreigners, fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon this foundation, Jesus Christ himself. Both Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter race or place or time or anything, all the elect of God, of all people, out of every kindred, tribe, nation, tongue, and heaven, are one in Christ. He is the head. We are his body. Look back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. His body. We're members one of another. We're his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Remember, Christ is all and in all. The Lord Jesus Christ is all. So believers in Christ are fellow heirs. Verse 6 again, Ephesians 3, verse 6. They're fellow heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. They're of the same body. He is the head. We are the body. And we are partakers of the promise, of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, what's his promise? All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. The promise of eternal life, the promise of redemption from all our sin, the promise of righteousness freely given to these people, the promise of eternal life. It's in Christ, and it's by the gospel of God concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me get to this. To make all men see, verse 9, what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and we have access with confidence by the faith of him. Now the gospel, I'm going to give you four things. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a complete hidden mystery to the natural man. Now you can take up religion. There's no problem with that. Works religion is natural to this flesh. There is a way that seems right unto men. The end of that way is death. What appeals to the flesh is do this, do this, do this, and everything will work out okay. The gospel of the grace of God says don't do. It says it's done. Rest in Christ. That's the difference. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a complete hidden mystery to the natural man. It must be revealed through the word of the Lord, and it must come in the power of the Holy Spirit. He must take the things of Christ and reveal them unto us. Now here's the first reference I want you to turn to. This is a mystery that must be revealed. First of all, find 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. And here we see the word mystery again. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now this is a great mystery. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Some say he was a good man, a good teacher, a prophet, a miracle worker. But who is the Lord Jesus Christ? God was manifest in the flesh. He's God our Savior, justified, vindicated by the Holy Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. He went back exactly where he came from. When he by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of God. We'll never understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is until God is pleased to turn on the light and to show us that he is God, our Savior. You remember the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness have we all received grace because of grace. What gives the gospel the power and might when the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood? It's not the blood of a mere man. He was in the flesh a man apart from sin. He had no sin, knew no sin, and did no sin. But this one who dies the appointed death for the appointed people is none other than God in human flesh, God incarnate. Now this is a mystery. We'll never grasp it, understand it, or believe it unless God reveals it unto us. And what gives his atoning blood power and weight and virtue before God is this fact that he is our God and Savior. God bought us with his own blood. This is just not the blood of some helpless victim. This is God's appointed Lamb who is God himself. God and man in one blessed person, remaining who he is and becoming what he was not. Now, another reference, if you will turn to Philippians chapter 2. It also tells us here again, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a mysterious person, and this must be revealed to us who he is. Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now to be equal with God is to be God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's not Lord by a democratic process. We didn't take a vote on this. He's Lord by God's decree. God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. So who he is a mystery to the natural man that must be revealed unto our heart, who he is. And that causes us to love him. To you who believe, he is precious. Here's the second thing. The union of our Lord Jesus Christ with his church. This is a mystery. This union and oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ is a mystery. If you look at Ephesians again, chapter 5, I mentioned this earlier. He says in verse 30, Ephesians 5, verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We are in union with him. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. His church, his body, they are one together. One together. And this is a mystery. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Turn over there. Colossians chapter 1. Remember, our Lord prayed, I in them and thou in me, that we may be one in him. John 17. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Wherefore I made a minister, Colossians 1, 25, according to the dispensation. There's that word again. It's stewardship, ministry, the ministry of God, the ministry of grace, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God, or to fully preach the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and generation, but is now made manifest or revealed to the saints. What is it? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Notice, it's a mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are one in Him. We're in union with Him. Now, let's turn and read that in John chapter 17. This is our Lord's prayer for His church as our great mediator, John 17. Turn over there. He says in verse 20, John 17, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Now watch it, verse 23. "I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are so much one with Him that when God Almighty sees us, He sees us in His Son. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope of glory. That's the mystery that must be revealed to us. Now here's the third one I want you to look at. Find the book of Romans, chapter 16. Romans, the last chapter of the book of Romans. The last chapter of the book of Romans. Romans 16, verse 25. "Now, to Him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel," the gospel of God concerning Christ. Paul said, "It's my gospel. Saved, justified by this gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest or revealed by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever." This mystery of the gospel, Christ, the power of God unto salvation. Now turn to Romans 1, verse 16. "The gospel doctrine of justification of sinners by the free and sovereign grace of God is called a mystery. How God is just and the justifier of the ungodly." Romans 1, look at verse 15. Romans 1, 15, "For as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and also to the Greek, the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now what is the power of God unto salvation? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How He justifies the ungodly by His grace. Stay right here in the book of Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 3. We had this morning, verse 20. Romans 3:20. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." It's not the removal of sin. "But now the righteousness of God," notice the righteousness of God without the law, "is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Verse 24, "being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Now there's not a period there, so turn the page. Verse 25, "whom God set forth, foreordained, pictured and promised, to be the propitiation, the atonement for our sin, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them which believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How God justifies the ungodly by the grace of God is a mystery that must be revealed. Now, have you got patience to look at a couple more? Romans chapter 8, look there, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but they're seeking salvation by the revelation of the Spirit of God. Now, today in Romans chapter 8, look at verse 31 and following. Romans 8, 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. Now, what shall we say to these things? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. How sinners are justified is a mystery that must be revealed. And God, when he does that, he teaches us that salvation and sinners are justified by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. It's a mystery that must be revealed. And here's the last one I want to look at. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15. Look at verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now here's another mystery. We shall not all sleep. That is talking about when the Lord returns. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That is, if we're living when the Lord comes back, we're going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on that same last point, find 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. We're going to be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. God's going to raise up. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. He's going to raise us up. This body and this flesh is going to be changed, and it's going to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can that be? It's a mystery that must be revealed to us. Look what he says here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. Well, let's read verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Talking about those who have died in the Lord, resting in the Lord, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in him will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What a great mystery. What a great blessed truth that we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll have a new body without sin, without sorrow. We'll worship Him perfectly then, like we want to now. And He gives us this understanding. Last scripture, find over here, 1 John chapter 5. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take His bride home to glory and to enjoy her forever is a mystery that must be revealed, and it is in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's what must happen. 1 John 5:20. All this is according to God's eternal purpose, which He purposed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He must give us an understanding of these things. 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God. And this is eternal life. This is eternal life that you might know Thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom God hath sent. And all of this works. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 3, back to the bookmark, one verse, verse 11. All of this, you see verse 11? According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You remember Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, in whom, it says, you also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will, that we should be to the praise of His glory. May God be pleased to reveal the gospel unto us and cause us to love Him and believe Him and rest in Him.